Don't move, just leave your darling on a good year's monitor. Lean back and stay a while on a good year's monitor.
Which is where you are right now, and where you'll find Monitor every weekend of the year. I'm Brad Crandall, and just 2 minutes away, a man who spent almost half a century inside Chicago Stadium, attending everything from pinochle games to grand opera, even helping to break up riots. You'll meet him as soon as John Gary sings one of his latest.
I wish I had a big, big camera. I'd hang it up in space and take a family photograph of the whole human race. Watch the birdie and everybody say peace. Everybody say peace. To make the whole world smile, everybody say peace. Together and line them up in rows. I check the film and set the lens and shout, hold that pose. Watch the birdie and everybody say peace. Everybody say peace. To make the whole world smile, everybody say peace. Could see if that's the way it happened once, it's the way it could always be. Watch the birdie and everybody say peace. Everybody say peace. To make the whole world smile, everybody say peace. And everybody say peace. Everybody say peace.
You know, nobody laughs in Chicago when Al Melgard sits down at the world's largest organ to play. And no wonder. He's been entertaining millions at the console of his mammoth music maker for nearly half a century. Mr. Melgard is the year-round organist at the equally famed Chicago Stadium, and he punctuates highlights of his career story with melodic illustrations as he talks and plays for Monitor reporter Johnny Earp.
Yes, those are the notes of the Music Man, and we're speaking with the original Music Man in Chicago Stadium, Al Melgard, who's been at this world's biggest organ for about 40 years. Al, if you'll forget that Music Man bit for just a moment, I want to ask you something. In the 40 years now, actually, how many different kinds of things have you played for?
Oh, almost everything from pinochle games to grand opera.
He's also played for a lot of sporting events, I know, because I've attended quite a few of them. Prize fights, wrestling matches, a pro football game, hockey games. I understand once you actually stopped a riot in a stadium. What's that story?
Well, that was when I played the wrong thing at the right time. We had a fight, and the crowd didn't like the decision, and they started booing the referee, and the first thing you know, they all started fighting in the audience. And I knew I had to get loud, so I opened up the organ.
Let's hear what you played. What did that do? That must have popped everything, wasn't it?
I broke all the light bulbs. They all exploded from the concussion. I broke all the windows in the gallery, and oh, boy, did I make a mess of it.
And after that, then, what did you do?
Then I played the second time.
What?
I played it the second time, and they all had to stand up, of course. See?
Well, after this mess that you created, what happened then? Did you hear from the boss at all? Did he raise heck about it?
No, I got a special delivery letter, and I was afraid to open it. I thought I was fired. But in the letter, it said that I had stopped a serious riot, And then I had a job for a lifetime. I've been here almost a lifetime now, 48 years.
Right now, at some of the hockey games, when the referees come out on ice, what do you give them? I know those guys don't appreciate that three blind mice. They give you the fist, I'm sure. When they give you the fist, what do? Do you give them any raspberry back?
Yeah, I sure do. I give them.
The crowd loves that. What when you got a fight on the ice, what sort of music do you play then?
Well, it all depends on when the bad man is coming in the ring.
All right, let's hear it.
I give him...
All right, when the good guy comes in, what happens? Once upon a time, back a long time ago, you actually played this organ here at a pro football game. I understand Red Grange, the old 77 from Illinois. What kind of tune did you give then?
Well, Illinois, of course.
Boy, all the loyal sons I know stood for that one. What about for a wrestling match, when one guy's on top of another? You got any special tune for that?
Yeah, I'd play Pony Boy, or either that or Kiss Me Again, or something like that.
Let's get to the political conventions. What's this story about you when FDR was nominated, the Democratic nomination? What tune did you give then?
I started something.
That happy days are here again. Honestly, Al, you gave the Democrats that slogan, that song, did you?
That's right. And then I got criticized by the Republicans. They said, you know who Al was for.
And what have you done for the Republicans on this Oregon?
Columbia, the gem of the ocean.
Let's hear it. Al, what about this Oregon here? I'm told that it's the world's largest of its type here. How many different things do you have to worry about?
Well, there are 883 stop tablets. That's these things here.
How do you know which one to play?
Well, I don't, actually. I just grab a handful and then play. That's all, I think.
You wrote a song for Sonia Henney. I'd like to go out on that note. First, what is the name of the song?
Well, it's My Vision, and it's going very well, even in Europe. And I open and close every program with it.
All right, I'd like for you to close our program from monitor right now with My Vision. Notes you hear are coming from one of the world's biggest organs at the Chicago Stadium. Al Melgard, a veteran organist, is playing My Vision. And this is Johnny Earp in Chicago for Monitor.
Several minutes away, the first enlisted woman to be stationed in Saigon tells us why she wants to return and why the Women's Army Corps is a satisfying career for any woman. Stay where you're always sure of meeting interesting people. Right here on the Monitor Beacon.
Tomorrow, Monday, 2,000 mattresses go on sale at Abraham & Strauss. Tomorrow, ANS puts a one-day sell-out price on top-quality, top-brand mattresses. Stearns & Foster, Sealy, Simmons, Restonic, Eclipse, Schiffman, and more. All on sale at $44. You save from $15.95 to $45.50 off the price of comparable mattresses. Choose twin, three-quarter, and full size, even some 80 inches long, even queen size, extra wide, extra long mattresses included at that same sale price, $44. Choose medium, firm, extra firm, super firm. Choose all cotton felt or all foam rubber, even quilted top mattresses with damask tickings. Values of $59.95 to $89.50, all $44. Matching box springs also on sale at $44. Only $5 down. Tomorrow, Monday only, at A&S, Brooklyn, Hempstead, Babylon, Huntington, and Manhasset stores. And all A&S suburban stores are open Monday night till 9:30.
WNBC New York, the big voice of Big Town USA, is the sound of conversation.
At 17 minutes after the hour, you're back with Monitor and Brad Crandall. This is the season, you know, of rented tuxedos, corsages, high ideals, and the triumph of youth. Graduations, proms, and June weddings. The Ray Conniff Singers have a new one which matches the mood perfectly. Title, Moonlight Brings Memories.
My darling moon. Sweet to come.
1942, the year the Women's Army Corps was born, its creation was met with a mixture of optimism and ridicule. Many congressmen, military leaders, and citizens thought that a female Army auxiliary group might be useful, but only as a typewriter corps, handling mountains of paperwork at domestic Army bases and in Washington. Well, today, the WAC observes its 25th anniversary and boasts a proud record of achievement in three wars and in all parts of the world. A representative WAC career woman is Master Sergeant Betty Adams, first enlisted woman stationed in Saigon, who anxiously wants to return there. Monitor reporter Betty Grobley in Washington finds out why.
Sergeant, why do you want to go back?
In a nutshell, to help the Vietnamese people.
I'd like to hear some of your experiences, Sergeant Adams, while you were in Vietnam. I understand the language would be certainly a problem, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would. As a matter of fact, Colonel Wilkes and myself arrived in Vietnam without any knowledge of the Vietnamese language. We picked up what we could through our associations with the Vietnamese. I think one of the first problems we encountered when we arrived in Vietnam, of course, I was the first enlisted woman from any branch of the service to arrive in Saigon, and billeting became a problem. What were they going to do with this WAC sergeant? So I said to the billeting officer, well, put me in a hotel in Saigon. Oh, we can't do that. They're full of men. And I said, well, if I was in the United States and went into a hotel to rent a room, of course, I wouldn't ask if there was a man in the room next door or the same thing in a motel. So he reluctantly, we placed me in the Ambassador Hotel in Saigon, and it worked out beautifully. No problem.
What did you do there?
I was an advisor to the Republic of Vietnam Armed Forces, helping them to establish a Women's Armed Forces Corps and to set up a basic training program and a training center.
What were the qualifications for a woman belonging, a Vietnamese woman belonging?
Basic qualifications set up then, I don't know if they've been revised now, but at that time, a woman had to have been 18 years of age, in good health, possess what was called over there a baccalaureate 1 degree, which is equivalent to completion of junior high school in the United States. And there were other prerequisites that could be waived if a woman had civilian acquired skills, typing, for instance. If a woman knew how to type, she could enlist to be a typist, and certain other educational requirements were waived. If a woman had knowledge of the English language, she could enlist specifically to be an interpreter.
Did you have an enormous amount of volunteers?
Yes, we did. The original recruiting campaign consisted of one radio announcement per day for 3 days. All over South Vietnam. The response was overwhelming. In a week's time, we had 2,000 applications.
Mm, incredible. I'd like to hear some of the drills.
Well, Betty, let's start with counting cadence.
All right.
A simple 1, 2, 3, 4 that everyone who knows anything about the service is familiar with.
And it sounds like one over here.
1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4.
All right.
In Vietnam, it would sound like moat. Hi, ba, bon, mo, hi, ba, bon. To the rear march would sound in Vietnamese, buk, man chao, buk. And that's a rather a mouthful to get out in time.
Now, since you have been in the WAC for 15 years, is this going to be a career for you?
Oh, yes, yes.
Forever and ever?
Well, not forever and ever. I am eligible to retire in 5 years. Whether I will or not depends on what I'm doing at the time.
Well, I salute you, and certainly the Women's Army Corps, too, which is celebrating its 25th year. Happy anniversary.
Thank you, Betty.
The new vaudeville band, having pointed out Winchester Cathedral, calls attention to another London landmark, Finchley Central.
Thank you. and sixpence from Golders Green on the Northern Line. And on the platform by the kiosk, that's where you said you'd be mine. There we made a date. I'm blowed, you never show. And Finchley Central, 10 long stations from Golders Green, change at Camden Town. I thought I'd made you, but I'm afraid you only let me down.
This may have escaped your notice, but our 49th state is conducting Olympic Games for its natives tomorrow through Wednesday. Yep, the Eskimo Olympics will occupy the next 3 days in Fairbanks, Alaska. No, some of the major events are not igloo building or ice fishing or blubber chewing. But doubtless there will be dog sled racing and harpoon throwing and maybe even iceberg cutting. Doesn't really matter. If you can make it to Fairbanks tomorrow, you'll be attending one of the truly colorful native events of the early tourist season. Percy Faith's Orchestra and Kahlua. I don't believe monitors heard there, but you can enjoy our show where you happen to be across the nation. In and around Spokane, Washington, folks hear us on KHQ, serving the inland Pacific Northwest. Coming up, a word from the station in your area, which is bringing you, Monitor, after which we'll be right back. Brad Crandall, your host.
Follow the events at the special session of the UN General Assembly on the NBC Radio Network.
Monitor for Sunday, June 18th, 1967. Scanning the entire weekend world for information and entertainment. Brad Crandall here. Al Capp gives college students some entertaining answers to their questions in just a few minutes. And later this half hour, a portrait artist tells us how it feels to have the President of the United States turn thumbs down on his work. The latest work of the Brothers Four, to begin, a new one called Walking Backwards Down the Road.
Walking backwards down the road, looking
just gotta go. And I left a note behind me in your mailbox. When you wake up, I'll be gone. I hope that you'll be happy with your new love. I just can't keep hanging on. Everywhere I look, there are memories of you. And I can't take it. That's why I'm walking backwards down the road, looking all around. Never thought I'd want to love. Walking backwards down the road, leaving out of town. I don't want to go, but how can I stay and watch you walk together when I'm
expert on nothing, with opinions on everything, Al Capp frequently offers these opinions in person to collegiate student bodies across the nation. In a recent appearance at Mary College in Bismarck, North Dakota, Al produced a provocative question and answer session. The students' questions were barbed, but so were Al Capp's answers.
Do you think there's intelligent life on other planets? I hope so. There's very little on this one. Should we bomb all legitimate targets in Vietnam? Yes, of course we should, but we must avoid innocent people. Now, if our flyers and bombardiers cannot, from where they are, detect a good guy from a bad guy, and if they injure any good guys, right back to the Air Force Academy for them. We can't have any brutality in war. Do you believe in mixed marriages? I do. It's better when boys marry girls. Are you glad you are not married to Joan Baez? Who isn't? Is Ronald Reagan ruining Berkeley? Why, of course he is. Of course he is. He's thrown out students who wouldn't go to school. He's dismissed the faculty that turned over the asylum to the lunatics. Or a bunch of great educators. I tell you, if Ronald Reagan goes on doing things like that, he's apt to be president of the United States. You were once considered a liberal. Why have you deserted liberalism? I haven't. Liberalism has deserted me. When a man tells me he's a liberal, I want to know whose neighborhood, whose income, and whose liberties he's being liberal with.
Monitor's talking cartoonist Al Capp, fielding questions from the students at Mary College in Bismarck, North Dakota, where he appeared recently.
When we all get together in you recall, when the leaves turn from silver green,
Miss Marilyn May. She makes me look forward to falling leaves and football games and things. And this weather in New York is helping me look forward to falling leaves. Artist Peter Hurd, painter of President Johnson's controversial portrait, tells his reaction to presidential artistic rejection and what has happened since. He'll be our guest in about 4 minutes, so stay on the Monitor Beacon.
Chateau Martin wine is on the list of best sellers. Best wine sellers everywhere.
I am nuts about the Chateau Martin wine. From lovely grapes that ripen on the wine. As an extra special treat, the champagne cannot be beat. I am nuts about the Chateau Martin wine.
More people are choosing Chateau Martin champagne, made from pampered grapes, specially selected from New York's celebrated Finger Lakes. Add Chateau Martin champagne to your life. It's part of the current scene. It's the New York State champagne with the delicious French accent. Chateau Martin is on the list of best sellers, best wine sellers everywhere. When you add it to yours, you'll agree with Gaston.
I am nuts about your Chateau Martin wine.
A product of Chateau Martin Wines, New York, makers of famous Chateau Martin sweet and dry vermouth. Had any lately?
Monitor once again at 15 minutes before the hour. Next Thursday, you may attend the National Chicken Cooking Contest. I can't even say it, much less attend it, in Georgetown, Delaware. Or the National Old Time Fiddlers Contest and Folk Music Festival in Weiser, Idaho. But if you've never been up in a little red balloon with the Johnny Man Singers, well, man, you haven't lived.
Would you like to ride in my beautiful balloon? Would you like to ride in my beautiful balloon? We could go and love the sun together, you and I. But we can.
Portrait of President Johnson, the one he described as, quote, the ugliest thing I ever saw, end quote, is currently enjoying a thoroughly successful exhibition at the Philadelphia Museum of Art. The artist who did the portrait, Peter Hurd, whose wife Henrietta is equally accomplished in art, talks about the rejection of the painting by his famous client, the nation's reaction in the wake of all the publicity, and whether or not he expects this to hurt or help his reputation in the art community. Asking the questions, Monitor reporter Jules Ryan.
Mr. Hurd, of course you were a well-known artist long before the ill-fated portrait of the president. Would you say that because of the painting, your reputation has been enhanced as an artist, or wouldn't you know?
I'd say it has certainly been amplified. I never had such a spate of publicity and cartoons and so forth. And I hope the president is just as pleased about as I am.
You know, in show business, well-known personalities are often called upon to present themselves to the public. Does this happen to well-known painters as well?
We think of ourselves as much less concerned with the news media than the performing artists. So this is the first time I've ever come to the attention of the news media in such a great way.
In other words, the publicity, given your portrait of the president, has made demands for appearances across the country for you. Is that so?
Alas, yes.
When you say alas, yes, how many?
Uncounted, but I don't accept them.
Well, how do you manage to get away from them?
Polite responses. Thank you, no.
What specifically was the president's objection to your painting? Frankly, when I looked at it, I thought it flattered him.
Too large, the capital too prominent, and just bad all around, I'm afraid. I don't think he liked any one phase of it, I'm afraid.
Do you think he's a vain man?
I think all men are vain. Is that a nice dodge on that question?
That's a very diplomatic answer. Now, how do people generally react to the portrait? Are they as critical of the portrait as the president might have been, or do they think, as I do, that it flattered him?
The people that have seen the president's portrait have, almost without exception, the ones I know, in fact, I believe without exception, the ones who have talked to me liked it and been rather surprised that it was so brusquely rejected.
I see. Now, you've done portraits of other people. Do people generally react to portraits with criticism?
Definitely true, what you say. Portraits are almost invariably subjects of contention and discussion. We're lucky if we have a consensus opinion in our favor, we portrait painters.
Are you willing at times to retouch some of the portraits?
Yes, if we feel that the retouching will be a benefit and that we understand it, that we know that it will be ourselves, but just to answer the whim of someone, not necessarily.
And were you willing to retouch the president's portrait?
I'm afraid it was past retouch.
Therefore, the expression that's bandied about the White House that a certain artist may be seen but not heard is true.
I'm sorry. I hope that it isn't really true, because I'd love to go back someday.
Now, what does a heard portrait generally cost? How do you evaluate how you charge a portrait? What criterion do you use?
The answer is what the traffic will take, I'm afraid. There are very few good portrait painters in the country, and whether I'm one of them or not, I'll leave to you and the rest of the people, but the going price for that size is $12,000, and I don't want many, maximum of two or three a year, because it's a very difficult, arduous task, including exhausting labor, standing up, both sides. I'm afraid my models get tired too sometimes. About 40 hours, 30 to 40 hours of sitting.
Now, because of the publicity attendant to this particular portrait, has the price of a herd portrait gone up?
No, sir. I don't want it to. I want it nothing like that to happen.
Well, thank you very much. The well-known portrait painter, Peter Hurd. This is Jules Rind in Philadelphia for NBC Monitor.
Like humor, appreciation of art, especially the field of portrait painting, is obviously a very personal thing. Carmichael's orchestra playing Wade in the Water. Brad Grandall here, inviting you to stay on the line for NBC Monitor News on the Hour. Coming along shortly.
This is NBC.
A brief reminder. Stay tuned for a dramatic and moving program titled The Doorway to Death. It's part of NBC News' Second Sunday series and tells the story of a 19-year-old condemned prisoner in San Quentin's death row, how he got there, and how he's prepared to meet his fate. That's The Doorway to Death, another in the Second Sunday series, immediately following NBC Monitor News on the hour over most of these stations. Reuben Mitchell's orchestra, the song is titled Lips and Legs. Time to keep up with the latest events around the nation and the world, so stay tuned for NBC Monitor News on the Hour, which is next. This is Brad Crandall.
This is your NBC Monitor.